many of you have ever had an experience before where you have a very clear sense of initiation? You're able to come into belonging and extra participation in a group or an activity, but you knew there's something that kind of like, I can do to get myself across that line to be a part of that. A lot of different clubs or groups have even specific rituals is what it means to come into belonging with them. That might be with fraternities and sororities or some historical community groups. Some of you may have been a part of those and have some of those come to mind either fondly or maybe a little bit like, oh, that was really kind of a rough one. And that's what it's designed for, right? If you're in sports, that same type of idea of struggle and doing something a little bit different comes up. There will be what they'll call hell week, maybe, for conditioning, where they really want to push you and make sure that you're stretching your physical capacity as much as you can to be ready to be part of the team. In different majors in college, or even sometimes high school before that, there will be classes that are specifically considered weed-out classes, right, where they want to make it so difficult that they know that you are committed to the subject matter if you're going to move forward in what it is that you're doing. And so some of you may have examples of that specifically, boot camp and the armed services, other things that might come to mind, that there was something that I had to kind of like really go through and cross the line, and then I knew I was a part of what this thing was. One of the ones that stands out for me is a little bit different. When I was in high school, as a part of the TV production class at the school, we did the announcements every day, sort of like a newscast throughout the school, and that was pretty special to me. I was interested in it when I heard they had this at the high school. They're normally only allowed sophomores or older to be a part of the class, but I heard about it in middle school and did a special appeal to participate as a freshman. And the teachers were nice enough to kind of, you know, interview me and make sure that I was going to be someone who would take it seriously and do well. And then I got started in the fall, had a lot of fun, did some camera work, did some things with editing and mixing and things like that, and was really, really excited about it. And at the end of the first semester, going into the Christmas break, our class had a tradition of the seniors and folks who had been in the class for a longer time would get to go and do a show where we shot the announcements for the week at the zoo during Zoo Life. So it was this beautiful setting for what we're doing, kind of a special trip for everyone to go on. And so, again, it was aimed at the seniors and older folks who would be on camera, and they would invite different people, but not everyone from the class, to come and be a part of that production if they had confidence in their ability and their commitment to the class to be able to do that. And I was not only the first freshman to be able to be in the class, but I actually got invited on that Zoo Life trip. And up to that point, I'd been kind of nervous around some of the older students and really wanted to learn from them, but felt a little bit intimidated. And so the opportunity to have some of what I've been doing and really trying hard to be recognized, but then also how gracious and friendly and wonderful they were to me. I think we're always kind of that, if there wasn't as much opportunity to be friendly in all of the rush of class and putting on the show and everything. But then when we went out, we didn't just do the show at the zoo, we also hung out at the zoo. And they were really welcoming to me and brought me on, and we hung out the whole rest of the night afterwards as well. And that moment was something where I felt, you know, I felt like a freshman. I felt kind of like a baby, not the top that I've been in the class so far. But now I really kind of feel like I belong. I know that people who are a part of this respect me. They saw something that I was doing. They were willing to include me in something that I felt looked like was kind of behind the glass door a little bit. And that meant a lot, to have something recognized, to be shown a sense of welcome. And, you know, especially compared, I did sports and things too. We had things where the soccer team at my high school, during one of the conditioning weeks, we had a trail right along the river in Worthington. And so when you got away from the coaches, part of your initiation in the soccer team is you get tackled and everyone would hit you a little bit. It wasn't like horrible, but it's one of those initiation things that you're like, no, that wasn't my favorite kind of initiation, exactly, to get tackled and hit on a mug. And so that spirit of, we have to recognize there's some level of commitment. It's not just like everybody comes. We want to see that you really want to be a part of this. But in this kind of positive, supportive, affirming way, really meant a lot to me. And so then that was something that every year when that... show came up, as I traveled through the rest of my high school career. I stayed in that class. I also became the first person who was a junior who got the role of senior director, which was basically like running the whole show on behalf of the teachers. So I did that 2 years instead of just one. It was one of my favorite things to do in high school. But all of that really was shaped from that sense of welcome and confidence and acceptance, and that crossing the line of that first do show. And so then after that, myself and other leaders in the class would always talk about who's the person who maybe has felt like, you know, they're not the most boisterous personality, they're not buddy-buddy with everybody, but we've seen them put in a lot of work, we've seen them be committed, and this can be a great way that we can show them that sense of, we see you, we're thankful for you, you belong, and we want to see you continue to grow and thrive in this class. And so that kind of became like what that Zoolites trip was about, is how do we make sure that there's somebody who feels like they're fully ushered into what we're doing and belongs. And as you might expect, this is something, this idea of how we come into belonging, is something that's a big part of our Christian faith as well. And you can probably guess about it with our born-again scripture today, right? We have the doctrine of conversion, of having our life be one way, and then when we have a substantive, important connection with God, we mark that sense of committing our life to God, crossing a line of some kind, and having a new type of life. It's not just sort of, you think, you know, like an incidental thing to come into Christian faith. Now, there are lots of ways of doing it, but we do have that sense of transformation, that having a connection to God really matters in substantive ways in our life. And born again has become a phrase that's really, really familiar. But we're in the series, Embrace a Little Crazy, right? Last week we talked about how Jesus, even from his family, was considered out of his mind at times because of how he was challenging the religious authorities and all the ways that they thought things were supposed to be done, and was even putting himself at risk. We'll see other examples of that too. But the idea is we want to tap into those things that maybe over time, over familiarity, that they feel a little bit normal, or we'll try to rationalize them a certain way, but that when they were first spoken, when they were first experienced, people were like, oh my gosh, I can't just accept that, right? I have to like figure this out a little bit. I have some strange feelings that God's going to have to help me with. And if we heard the story of Nicodemus, that was what the idea of being born again was. Like, I had to climb back into mom and come back out. Like, what are you talking about? Jesus, that's really, really weird. And so how do we have the opportunity to still tap into that idea of the thing that catches you so off guard, that God is doing something a little crazy enough that it makes you stop for a second? And that can maybe seem like discouraging or unusual, or I mean, I don't want to say that what I am doing is crazy. But we've got to remember, too, that it's often the things that have the best impact on us that will bring the most transformational improvement in our lives aren't necessarily the things that we feel like are easy to accept right away. And so knowing that God is with us and stretches us and brings us those full new possibilities should be a source of hope. And that's part of why we want to do this as well. And for me, having this idea around my Christian faith has been a little bit strange. My family and I went to different churches all growing up, going to seminary. People talk with you about this a lot, too. And I was baptized as an infant in a Presbyterian church that my parents were going to at the time. We ended up in some churches that were more evangelical later in life, and they didn't really believe in infant baptism. So as I came to be in high school, they were kind of like, hey, you know, you should get baptized because, you know, that's what we do when we're in high school and we're saying that we're following God. You should maybe think about that too. And I sat there and thought, I said, you know, as far as I understand, baptism is this showing how we're dead to a life in the world that's normally measured and alive to a life in God's community. And so that's important. I want to take that seriously. But I also didn't have this like moment as I was growing up where it's like, I'm going to have a big, giant conversion moment where things were really different one way, and now I'm going to commit my life to God, and so then I'm going to go forward. Some of you may relate to this too. I was raised in a Christian family with Christians going back generations. It always felt like that was just a part of who I was in a meaningful way. But there wasn't like, sometimes people have really amazing, beautiful, I love them big stories. Like, my life was a wreck before. And then people came alongside me, they showed me who God was. I was able to interact with Jesus, and I committed my life, and now my life is going in a different direction. And they can sort of see that moment, that time, that season that happened, where things took a whole big turn. And that's awesome. That was neat. And then it felt strange, and I kind of felt like I was betraying my family and how they had brought me up in that community to say, well, I'm going to replace that baptism and all that you've done to have me be part of God's community up to this point. If I'm going to say I'm going to reset it just to make somebody else's expectations feel good. So I decided not to get baptized again. But what that's meant for me, too, is that I have felt that sense of, I want to make sure, though, that just because I've always known this sense of God's community around me, I don't want to take for granted the born-againness, the way that God's presence in my life, the way that my participation and partnership with other people who are God's people means something to me. I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want it to be like, well, I had my one birthday, they baptized me a few months later, and then everything has kind of been one way since. How do I still tap into that born-againness? And some of you may relate to that too, if that the experience I described is kind of like how you were brought up. Or maybe even you're like, you know, I make enough jokes about kind of being long in the tooth as just a person, but also if I look back, even if I did have a big turn in my conversion, my born-again birthday is starting to count up a little bit too. And there's a lot of things that are familiar. So how do we hold on to that sense of my connection to God, my participation in what is supposed to be this new transformational way of life? I still know what it's like to do that. And that can be hard thousands of years later. That can be hard decades later if we've been part of the God's community for a long time. And I do want to mention that how we'll be talking about this today is not about making a specific doctrinal statement. Like only people who make a really big deal about born-again salvation, because that's kind of become like a term for some types of churches, right? So I'm not saying that we have to use the phraseology a certain way and have a certain specific theology about it in order for us to tap into how born-again can have an influence on life. So I'm not saying, you know, that we have to change our whole theology of things, or say that we're one type of church. You're thinking, you know, I'm picturing the churches that say born again all the time, and I don't know if that's what our church is, or that we want our church to be that. We want to have room for maybe people like that church, but I just want to make sure that that's not what this is about. And also, I want to make sure that I say that we don't want to get into a place either where in order to feel like we're born again, we're just constantly feeling like I did something and God doesn't accept me anymore. So then I'm going to make another big thing of like, God, I know you're really angry, you don't like me, and so I convert back to you and now everything's fine. And like every time we feel like something has gone wrong in our life, we feel like we have to do that over and over and over again for God to love us and for God to accept us. Because that's more like an abusive relationship than it is like a transformational relationship. If we feel like every time something's just a little bit off, we have to make a big deal about God loving us again. God loves us, God accepts us. That sense of being born again is with us. But how do we balance that and not take it for granted? And for me, one of the things that's really helpful for this is not just about my own personal life, but also about what it means to be human. And that's why I had us look at this foundational text in Genesis about the story of how we came to be just as people. And the story that's been passed down to us about what it means to be a human as a creation of God. And so embracing a little crazy about being born again, I think, can start with making sure that we know about our foundations as people. And we see how God refreshes, restores, renews, reinvigorates those foundations. And it might be in ways that people, like we saw in the John story of Nicodemus, find a little bit strange and hard to get their minds around. So Genesis 2, I want us to see, has three key aspects of what it foundationally means to be a person. And it's sort of three covenants that God created for us when we were made. Three connections that is the core to who we are no matter who we are, just because we're human. It has to do with how we are made. So the first one is our connection to the earth and to the rest of creation, right? The story says that we were made from dirt. And so we weren't made out of nowhere. God made sure that there was this intrinsic, deep-rooted connection to the rest of the things that God had made. That is a part of our foundational identity. That's why we have that story, to tell us those things. Second thing that's a core part of who we are as humans is our connection and our relationship to God. We don't start with the presumption that we have no connection to God and then we have to find it later. We start with that because we were created by God and then God breathed into us to give us our very breath. And that word, by the way, is a synonym for spirit. So the idea that we breathe, we continue to breathe in and out, that has like just a normal like life systems thing about it. But in the story of who we are at the root of our humanity, we have breath, that means we have spirit, that means we have that divinity, that image of God, that connection to God automatically within us as the core of who we are. It needs to be restored when we step away from God, when we have a break from God. But we start with that. It's still there. There's that spark there that God can rekindle no matter what. And then the last thing that is a core to who we are as humans, from our very foundational connections, is our relationship, our connection, our covenant with each other. The first next person after Adam came from Adam. We're as closely linked as we could possibly be. We share that same common foundational body. We can't have that. We're not just all separate people automatically where we have no interdependence, no connection, no implicit reliance on each other for the way God has made us. All of those relationships are the very start, very roots of exactly who we are as people for all of us. And by the way, that's reinforced later in the story after the fall. Because what are the three things, the curses, the struggles that happen because of Adam and Eve's sin? It's struggle in our relationship to the earth. It's struggle in our relationship to God. It's struggle in our relationships with each other. They're not arbitrary punishments. They're consequences of how the core of who humanity was got messed up because of the actions of Adam and Eve saying, my own personal thoughts and my own personal interests are going to come ahead of those covenantal foundational identities of my connection to the earth, my connection to God, my connection to other people. And so when we get rooted in knowing that that's just sort of not like nice things, like, oh yeah, I can, be a little bit conservationist. I can pray to God sometimes. I can try to be nice to other people. Like, those are nice things, to try to be nice in those relationships. But if we start with the idea that that is intrinsically, automatically, at the very, very deepest root foundation of what it means to be human, and we approach those things differently, and they give us interesting insight about how being born again in all of those areas, no matter what our personal circumstances are, no matter what our own personalities are individually, no matter what our own individual experiences and actions will be, it will all look a little bit different to be born again. But they'll all have those threads of those three foundational covenants, creation, God, each other, at the heart of them. And so if we can tap into what it looks like to have those restored, refreshed, be doing them a little bit crazy, like being born again, that no matter if we have a big, giant conversion experience, no matter how long it's been since our conversion experience, we can know that we're still living that slightly crazy being born again idea. We want to have that thing that can broaden our imagination of how God can be connected to us. We want to have that thing that can broaden our hope of what the world can be, especially when it seems like things are not going well. I think they're too overwhelming. Like, there's no possible step forward unless it's something a little bit crazy. So I have a few ideas for us to think about on that today. In rebirthing our covenant with God, I encourage you to tap into especially that idea of the image of spirit, God's spirit as breath. Because if you're like me, sometimes you probably take your breath for granted a little bit. But when something really traumatic or worrying or difficult happens, and we have to catch our breath, then suddenly it's all we can think about. Right? Or if you're having a panic attack, you're like, all right, focus on your breathing, focus on your breathing, focus on your breathing. And your goal is almost to like, I want to get to the point where I can take it for granted again. And I'll admit, that's something I think, I know I do. I won't speak for you, but I'm guessing it's probably not too unusual for people to say, you know, yeah, sometimes my connection to God, just, it's easy to coast along with. And then something goes wrong, and then I have to focus on it. It becomes the only thing I can think about. And it's great that God's faithful in those moments, but maybe knowing that God's Spirit and that connection to us is like our breath, it's vital. Even when we're not thinking about it, it's there. It's keeping us going. And thinking about being mindful of our breath a little bit in each moment, in each circumstance, even mundane times, helps us reinvigorate our connection to God. And no, God's not just the emergency backstop when things are going wrong. God's just not the one that I give credit to when something's going right because that feels like a good, humble thing to do. But I'm intrinsically connected to God, and that helps me look at each circumstance, look at each relationship, look at each interaction in a more invigorated way. And that imagery of the wind that goes with it too, implicitly, that's in the verse in John about how the wind goes wherever it decides to go. We're not in control of it. It goes where it pleases. It shapes the seasons. It can't be controlled. Reminds me of, maybe some people know this better than me, my father-in-law had to tell me a little bit, but like a sailor, right? You can't figure out how to say, well, the wind's happening, I want my boat to go this way, and only in this particular way that I'm going to manage it, and so I'm going to harness the wind, and the wind is going to be what I want, and it'll serve me. When you approach things that way, you're bound to actually make things much worse for yourself. But when we say, the wind is blowing, and I'm going to follow that, maybe it means that I'm going to have to like weave back and forth a little bit, handle my sail in a way that like is not most efficient for me. But if I'm going to use the wind and have that be most important, that will still get me where I'm going. And you learn to kind of be carried along a little bit. And so if we can have that same sense of this, learning how to be those people who know which way the wind blows, and letting God carry us instead of trying to always wrangle God to do the things that we feel like are most important in the moment, we can actually find that things are maximized for us because we're being carried along by the wind. And then we can also have rebirth in our covenant with the earth that's a core of who we are. We can stop and think about just in our, the normal things I do, the way I live the world. Are the things that I have around me, whether it's possessions or whether it's the stuff that I have access to that I could use, are those just meant to have a certain amount of utility just like squeezed out of them as much as possible for me? Are we able to see anything around us, any possession that we have, as a gift from God that's meant to bring creation more together? And because God is working in it, any of those things become more than the sum of their parts when God helps them work together. Rather than trying to ask every moment or everything or every resource that's out there, how can I utilize that for myself? And by the way, I want to really highlight how that's something I think that we're doing really well in the garden that I want to continue to grow with us in a really good example. Right? Because to some degree, we're starting with the garden and it's good. We had a resource, we had some land. Didn't know what we were doing with it. We had an opportunity to listen to Grant and know that he was in the community. And we found a way to grow food on that land. And then we're taking that food and it's going to Grant, it's going to people who are hungry. That is amazing. That is a selfless act of saying, what's something that we have that we can pass along? We should be really proud of everything that we've done with that. But I actually hope that we remember and hold in our heads just as much that it's not just about extracting food and passing it along with that garden. That garden is about a convening space. It's a place that we are building relationships. It's fertile ground for new partnerships to grow. It's a place that new ideas that people are trying to figure out can blossom because we've given that fertile soil for them to pursue something that they care about that they didn't have an outlet for otherwise. And so it is good that we're finding ways to volunteer, to set it up, to pick the fruit. But sometimes I think we can accidentally forget that it's not just about we put some money in, we take some food out, we deliver it down. That becomes a place that our relationships are as much a fruit of what we're doing as the plants themselves. And so if we can all think about, especially as we're moving forward, as we're celebrating everything that's happened, that we use the resource of like the food in a positive way, that's great. But how can we also use the resource of the space, of our time, of the spirit of being a place that people can connect, and that we invest in that too. And so that's something I think Bruce and I have talked a lot about for next year. And I hope that you'll join us in too. Even if you don't see yourself as a gardener, if you see yourself as a person who like, I want to help people find places that they love to spend time, where people can connect with each other and feel supported with. Maybe somebody that has something that's like garden adjacent, but they don't like vegetables. Maybe they like creating nice places for people to sit and take a minute and rest and renew themselves. So maybe that's a place that we can do things like that. Those are the types of things I want us to keep working on. And having that mindset about anything that we have access to is a way that we can be born again in our covenant with the earth. And then that also brings us to our covenant with each other. We've talked a lot about, in the last couple of years, all the different things that are breaks in that. We know the rancor, the division, the relational difficulty, and the emotional exhaustion that we're all facing in different ways a lot of times right now. And most of the time, if you're like me, it's hard for our brains not to go to that imagery of like, alright, we're having all these problems, we need to be about building bridges. And that's when our intentions are at their best, right? Sometimes it's like, alright, I'm having all these problems, and I want to be a nice little island, and everything is just like going by me because I'm tired of dealing with it, and I want a nice body of water separating me from all the people that are stressing me out. And that's an acceptable feeling, I get it, and it's good to have healthy boundaries. But sometimes when we start with that, we are unfortunately saying the natural state of things is that break. The natural state of things is that we're separate from each other. The natural, original state of things is that we don't have a state together in who we are. And so we start with that. We don't have a connection. And then we say, I'll try to figure out how to, maybe in certain circumstances with the right people or whatever, like build a connection back if everything works out okay. But if I'm born again, if I start with that foundational part of being human that I see in the creation story, and I want to have that tapped back into and transformed and renewed and reinvigorated by God because I have that connection to God now in my faith life, I start to have it occur to me that I don't have a lot of people that I say to really easily. At the core of who we are, you are mine, and I am yours. And I'm going to let that really mean something for how I look at you and how I interact with you. And I'm going to let that mean something for how I deal with our times of conflict. All right, we've almost purely romanticized that idea. That's like something you say when you're really in romantic love and you're dating and you're going to get married or something like that. But the creation story actually tells us, like, that's true of everybody. We start with that inherent connection. That's automatically who we are as humans. And sin has ruptured that, but that's not really the natural or original order of things. That God made us with that intrinsic covenant. So if I can start with that rather than say the break is the natural thing. And so then I'll do a bunch of extra stuff to get back to that sense of covenant with everyone that I interact with, even that I have conflict with. I'm going to try to have that sense because of God's spirit within me, transforming and helping me be born. I'm going to start with that sense that you're mine. I'm yours. We belong to each other. And it doesn't mean it's easy. It's even true in our closest relationships. But it's important if we start that way. And saying, if that's how I start, I'm going to treat you differently than if I say, you're a jerk, I'm awesome, and we'll figure out how to like make you a little bit more awesome because I'm doing these things. That's a pain with broad brush strokes, but hopefully you get the idea. Because there is a huge difference. think we know, it's starting with a presumption of empathy instead of starting with a presumption of protection of ourselves, competition with everyone else. And so in each of these areas, I believe that we also need to make sure that we're holding on to elements of celebration and struggle, of things that we give up and things that we take on, of expecting that there's going to be seasons. We don't just cross one line and then everything is stagnant from then on. What type of new life would new life be if it was just always the same? We never kept growing, we never kept thriving, we never kept learning, we never kept taking on new characteristics. We don't think of regular life being that way as being a good life. So of course new life should be that way too. And so we need to be honest that it's not always easy. The idea of being that connected to people, the idea of thinking about not just our own interests, but the interests of any part of God's creation, the idea of knowing that God really is actually with us all the time. If we actually sat with that and took it super seriously, that is a little crazy. That's a lot of times to feel like it's nice and simple, and it just makes us happy. That will make us feel a little bit nervous. It will make us feel a little bit stretched. That's okay. That same sense of struggle, of growth, that's part of what it means to continue to develop as human beings. And so I'm not trying to ask us to deny that and say that all these things are easy, simple, or happy. But they are good. And they do bring thriving. And they will actually address those things that feel intractable in our lives as problems. When we get those covenants right, I also think that helps us be whole and healthy in our own internal individual identity. It helps us learn how to be vulnerable, but with boundaries, instead of being defensive in our insecurities. Those are similar things, but they're very different in spirit. We're able to be vulnerable with boundaries if we know our core covenants. We feel insecure and defensive if we assume that none of those things are there to begin with. There's also a very different thing in having bravery and generosity towards ourselves and towards each other, compared to having an arrogance or humiliation, saying the only way I'm safe is if I watch out for myself, say everything that is my perspective is normal and best, and I hold on to everything that makes me the most comfortable. So when we operate most in our best selves, because of the covenants that we're rooted in, we'll have that vulnerability with boundaries, we'll have that bravery with generosity. And here's the thing, I think that we've been cultivating that in really wonderful, exciting ways as a church. The ways that we've weathered through COVID, the things that we've decided to do, the ways that we've put ourselves out there, that we've stretched ourselves, even as simple as all different places that we have worshipped and moved around and had it not been easy and took on extra tasks and been patient with each other when things are a little bit weird. Those are all wonderful little seeds that we are operating in a born-again version of those core parts of what it means to be human. So I want us, though, to not lose that. I want us to not take that for granted either. Pat yourselves on the back for being a little bit crazy. And then let's see how we can hold on to that and keep seeing that unfold for us in this new season. Keep trying, keep growing, keep sharing stories with each other for your individual lives, for our partnerships together, for the interactions that you have with the whole community. How am I connected to God with every breath? How am I connected to the rest of creation where I see a possibility of newness and sharing in every single thing that I hold and come in contact with? And how do I see everyone around me as mine and I and theirs? Because of God's Spirit connecting us all. I'm really excited to see what we come up with, and I hope that you are too, and I hope we keep sharing.